The Hoop Collective is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Hello, welcome to the Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA. Here we go with the time again. It's 12:30 in Tokyo on Friday. It's sometime at night in the United States. I don't know what time it is.
It's 11:30 on Thursday night.
That's Tim Bontemps joining us from Boston, where he covers the draft from, wrote a whole bunch of stories on the draft for us tonight at ESPN. Joining us from Dallas, where he was tracking the very active Houston Rockets, but a big night tonight, is Ben McMahon.
Actually in the land of Mickey, but it's neither here nor there.
Oh, are you in Orlando?
No.
The other land of Mickey.
Anaheim.
You're in Anaheim.
And Anaheim, squeezing in a little M-I-C-K-E-Y action.
I don't even want to know what time it is there. I can't even process it. I'm in the mid.
It's 8:37. I can tell you the time because I can do math. So it's
8:37. In the mid Olympic malaise. I'm in the mid Olympic thing where you just, there's only so many 7-Eleven meals you can eat before
really,
your mind
really
goes to mush.
It's really a tough life, Tim, that Brian has in Tokyo, right? He's covering Team USA. He's going to watch golf. It's a really rough life that he has.
Listen,
I don't know how he does it.
I'm not going to complain about a guy who's working his butt off right now in Tokyo when I did the, okay, got to get the kids a vacation. I can squeeze it in right here. Please, NBA, don't do the draft or free agency this weekend. Then, a few weeks later, draft and free agency this weekend. So it will be a working vacation for sure.
I hope you enjoy yourself. So we had a pretty big trade to start off the night. This was a trade that had been floating around for the last few days in the league, maybe the last week. But it was sort of predicated on the idea that maybe Bradley Beal would, say that he wants to be traded. And then this would be the following move would be they would then have to trade Russell Westbrook and that the Lakers would move in on it. Well, Bradley Beal did not ask to get traded. And I would say at this point, it looks like he's going to stay. I don't have direct reporting on that, but I would say it looks like he's going to stay. So the Lakers go ahead. And I mean, I don't know for sure on this, but I got to think that LeBron James was a driving factor on this. LeBron and Russell Westbrook have had a growing relationship the last couple of years. LeBron spending some time with him since he moved to LA. And I know Bontemps feels a certain way about this, McMahon. So before I yield to him, I'm going to ask what you think of this, because you obviously covered Westbrook closely in Houston. You felt a certain way about him. They give up, three rotation players. I know that the three rotation players aren't going to be Hall of Famers, but Kuzma, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Montrezl Harrell, who opted into his contract to make this happen.
Yep.
And then the 22nd pick in the draft, which
bounced around, but still, it's a first round pick.
Washington then following traded it again. But I want before we let Bontemps go, I wanna hear what you think of it.
Listen, I think that Bontemps' concerns about this deal from a Lakers perspective are quite reasonable. Great, he's friends with LeBron. Well, hey, buddies with James Harden since childhood. Oh, it's going to work because they want to make it work. Russell Westbrook is still capable of wreaking havoc. We saw that in Washington. We even saw it in Houston. He's still capable of putting up huge numbers. He is not capable of playing off the ball. He is not capable of spacing the floor. He has to have the ball in his hands. He has to dominate the ball to be Russell Westbrook. I don't see how that fits as LeBron's teammate. I don't see how the Lakers, when they had a chance to address their biggest need, a glaring lack of shooting, I thought Buddy Hield would it fit. I don't see how you say, well, we don't really need to address shooting. Let's bring in one of the worst jump shooters in the league in Russell Westbrook. Again, I think Russ on the right team is still a guy who can put up big numbers, who can, at least make you competitive. I don't see Russ as a guy who nudges the Lakers, further towards another championship.
Yeah, I mean, the instantaneous reaction is that, oh my God, I mean, I saw it on our air. Mm-hmm. The Lakers have a big three now, you know, because it is a definitely a star-driven trade. We've seen so many of these types of trades over the last 4 or 5 years that it almost is numbing. Like, oh, it's okay. It's a,
right.
It's another clustering of stars. And so, I mean, there are certain people that are going to be really, really excited about this, who think that this is going to, you know, guarantee the Lakers back into the championship.
I am not one of those people.
I know.
Shocker.
Here it comes. He's just getting set up. Here it goes. But I think it's important context to realize that, as Woj reported and is out there, they had the, you know, they gave up four assets in this trade, obviously, the three players mm-hmm. in the first round draft pick. They had the Buddy Hield trade they could have made, and then would have had the first round draft pick and Kyle Kuzma to go out and make another move. I think that's important context.
Kuzma would have been in that trade, I believe. Kuzma and Hield. They would have had KCP.
You are correct. KCP right. in the first round pick. I think that's just important context. Okay, Bontemps.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of just set it up there, Brian. I mean, when I thought that the Lakers were going to trade Kyle Kuzma and Montrezl Harrell for Buddy Hield, I thought that was a really good trade for the Lakers. Mm-hmm. You know, what did we say on this podcast all last year? The Lakers had no three-point shooting, right? They had all these guys who couldn't shoot around LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Buddy Hield has his flaws. He is one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA, and him on the wing with catch-and-shoot opportunities with LeBron James running pick-and-rolls with Anthony Davis would have been deadly. That's exactly the kind of move the Lakers needed to make. It's a smart team-building move to try to put the best pieces around LeBron and AD to win. Instead, what do the Lakers do? They chase after the big starry name, Russell Westbrook. Let's bring the Los Angeles, you know, native home. Big, you know, great story. Russ is back. Lakers have a big three. We're going to march to a championship.
The Rental Russ tour continues.
Four teams in 4 years for this guy. Four teams in 4 years. It's not a coincidence. McMahon's been around two of them. When he's in OKC, then he goes to Houston with James Harden. That immediately blows up. He goes to Washington with Bradley Beal. They're a mediocre Eastern Conference team. And now he's with the Lakers in what couldn't be a worse fit with LeBron James.
The one thing I will say is the Wizards were a pretty good team once they got through the COVID outbreak and got healthy and all that. But
they were still going to lose in the first round in the East, though.
You're right.
They weren't as – you know what I mean? Like, they were okay, but this is like what we talked about last offseason when the Lakers traded for Dennis Schroeder and signed Montrezl Harrell. Those are moves that you're trying to make, you're making if you're trying to win 45 games. Are the Lakers trying to win 45 games? Or are the Lakers trying to win a championship? Russell Westbrook's a guy that wins you regular season games. When you get in the playoffs, he doesn't shoot.
Or he does. Either way, it's problematic.
To be fair, to your point, to be fair, he will shoot. He will not make shots. He doesn't defend, and he causes problems for your team.
Well, and also, here's the deal. Anthony Davis, you're a full-time center because, dude, you cannot play two bigs and Russell Westbrook. Like, no. And, I mean, Houston decided you can't play any bigs.
The Rockets traded Clint Capella just to make sure that they could get Westbrook on the court. I mean, look, this isn't that Russell Westbrook is an awful basketball player. He's not. But he's an awful fit for the Lakers.
Yeah, I don't like the fit.
And to your point, Brian, the Lakers only have so many assets, right? You've been saying from the moment they made the AD trade was great, but it was going to limit them in their ability to improve this team down the road because they gave up so many picks and so many assets, they really didn't have much left. Now, they've burnt all those assets to make this trade. And by the way, 4 months ago, they could have traded for Kyle Lowry. And the only difference would have been they would have given up Taylor Horton Tucker. And by the way, like we said in March, if they'd made that trade, I think the Lakers would have won the title. And Kyle Lowry is a perfect fit to play with LeBron James and mm-hmm. Anthony Davis as a guy who plays defense, who can move the ball as well as anybody, who is a great spot up 3-point shooter. Like that would have been a move that made all sorts of sense. And instead, they now trade for a guy who's not as good as him, who's more expensive than him, and is a way worse fit. So
yeah, but you know what? In the defense of the Lakers, they might be able to turn around and trade Russell Westbrook for Chris Paul and a couple first rounders and a couple swaps.
I mean, maybe. I don't know
if they're going to pull that off again. By the way, the Rockets now for Russell Westbrook, they still owe. They're fortunate for them, they didn't have to do the one swap. They still owe a swap. They still owe two picks. You know, very lightly protected, and they got half of this Turkish dude for them. That's the pick from Washington, the protected pick from Washington. They had it for that, and the protected pick from Detroit. So they got half of this Turkish teenage dude.
Well, so I think the key for the Lakers is they have to finish the offseason before we can fully appreciate where they are as a team. So
I mean, do we have to honestly, like, whatever else the Lakers do at this point, they're still going to have this gigantic problem of Russell Westbrook trying to fit with LeBron James going into the season. That's not going to change.
Well, the thing about it is, I mean, I don't know who their center is going to be.
It better be Anthony Davis.
It's hard to imagine it's going to be Anthony Davis.
I don't know who their point guard is going to be. Okay, yeah,
it's Russell Westbrook.
Well, their point guard, Russell Westbrook.
I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. They have their point guard. I apologize.
Or LeBron James.
Brain fart. What I meant to say is I don't know who their shooting guard is going to be.
Yes.
And I don't know who their other player who they're going to put in there when they want to go to their shooting lineup is. So I would assume they're going to want to re-sign Caruso and Horton Tucker.
Probably going to be their starting guard, right?
Well, the thing about it is where this trade puts them, they're at $130 million. So as far as their salaries go, they're not going to be able to use the full mid-level. So they're going to have to use the taxpayer mid-level, which is $5.7 million. So, you know, I know that there's some people out there who have dreamed about them trying to figure out a way to get DeMar DeRozan.
Now, I mean, that'd be
an even bigger disaster at this point.
Yeah. Like, dude, you have to get somebody who, if he's alone at the three-point line, it would be somewhat concerning for the opposing defense.
Well, this is the alternate reality I want to set up. Just remember let's look at where they are on August 10th, and remember that they could have had Buddy Hield, mm-hmm. and they might have been able to do a sign and trade with a first round pick and KCP to get DeMar DeRozan. They might have been able to pull that off.
I don't think DeMar, but again, DeMar is the same. DeMar goes back to the same problem we're talking about, where the Lakers are chasing star names that are not fits with the guys that they have on their team.
But no, but if you have Hield and then you're adding DeRozan, it's some sort of, I mean,
the thing with Russ is
you're doing it with a $40 million contract.
No, I was,
and you're
I
doing totally it as a guy that. Who needs to dominate the ball. Like,
no, I totally. Yeah,
you know, in Wendy's alternate world, maybe DeRozan's even coming off the bench in the sixth man role.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's fair. So DeRozan becomes the sixth man role.
Let's see if they can somehow figure out a way to sign and trade Dennis Schroeder for something. That's one. Mm. Two, let's see the contracts that Horton Tucker and Caruso ultimately get, assuming that they stay in LA, and with their contracts, it can become assets. And let's see what they do with that mid-level exception money, which, you know, to me, thinking about maybe DeRozan and Hield and then using that mid-level exception to get some sort of center that can play in there when it's not Anthony Davis, that to me was a logical way, assuming LeBron and AD come back full power. That is a stud team. But let's just see where they are. And the thing about it is I want to talk a little bit about the point guard market. Point guard market is very much driving this mm-hmm. offseason. So now that we've moved past the draft, which we'll talk about in a minute, Chris Paul is, whether he opts out of his contract or not, from what I understand, New Orleans made a strong, I know technically free agency hasn't started yet, so got to be careful what I say, or otherwise I'll be accused of reporting tampering. New Orleans makes this trade with Memphis. By the way, from what I understand, Memphis was pretty far down the road with Sacramento. That would have sent Jonas Valanciunas to Sacramento in a package that would have brought back Marvin Bagley And then would also have brought back the number 9 pick. So they end up doing the deal with New Orleans instead and get the number 10 pick. That's important. So they end up doing a deal that clears out 20 extra million in space. So now they can get to a $30 million contract or somewhere in that neighborhood. So from what I understand, New Orleans was targeting Chris Paul and Kyle Lowry with those, with that slot. Now, Chris Paul had a very good relationship with Willie Green, who was their head coach, or was their assistant coach, and is now the new Pelicans head coach. And they believe that that relationship could be a draw in free agency. But the feeling within the league now is that Chris Paul is going to stay put in Phoenix, whether or not he is going to opt out and sign a new deal or extend his contract or whatever. The belief is that Chris Paul is not ever going to be on the open market. Kyle Lowry has many options.
Yep.
The Miami Heat.
He's the most interesting guy in free agency next week.
Yeah. The Miami Heat are obviously very interested there. They can create a lot of space. They'd have to cut some dudes. They'd have to cut Goran Dragic, I think. They'd have to cut Andre Iguodala or trade them off to open up the kind of space they'd need for Lowry, who's looking at, you know, a deal between 25 and 30 million, I think, is where he's looking. And the number of years are going to matter. So he's got New Orleans sitting there. He's got Miami who wants him. Jimmy Butler would love to play with him. And then you've got Dallas, who, if Dallas says goodbye to correct me if I'm wrong here, McMahon, if they say goodbye to Tim Hardaway, they could get into the neighborhood of the mid 20s to 30 million in space. Is that right?
Yeah. And I mean, it's no secret that the Mavs are looking to move Josh Richardson, assuming he opts into his contract. So that could get them, you know, well into the 30s. The Mavericks, they do want to keep Hardaway. I don't see a realistic way that they can do that and sign a guy like Lowry.
Yeah. Okay. So whatever, Dallas has interest in Lowry and,
yes.
And they're going to try to figure it out. And so the key, I think, for Lowry will be also, I think I should point out Philadelphia, who didn't trade for him in the spring. Masai Ujiri, I've said this to Bontemps before, but Masai Ujiri has done a lot of very good things. And we'll talk about a big Masai Ujiri decision just in a minute here that he made tonight. Masai has done a lot of great things to build a championship team. The way he handled the Kyle Lowry situation, the deadline continues to be mysterious to me. And so Philadelphia, I do think, has some interest in doing a sign and trade. That's the only way they could get him with Toronto. Toronto has offered Pascal Siakam around and they drafted Scotty Barnes tonight, which maybe further makes it clear. I mean, not that Barnes is going to be that type of fill-in, but it kind of makes it clear where they're going with Siakam. But one of the mechanisms for them to improve would be to sign and trade Lowry. Philadelphia is a place for that. And I know everybody's going to jump to Ben Simmons' conclusions, but I just don't think there's any traction on Ben Simmons' deals. As I talk to teams out there, they talk about what Philly is asking for, and it's almost laughable. Some of the stuff has gotten reported, but with suffice to say, the offers that I have told Philly has made to trade Simmons are so aggressive and outlandish that it makes you walk away saying they're not really trying to trade him.
They're trying to get, as Woj put it, a Harden-esque package when they were willing to give up. They were eager to give up Simmons, you know, plus to get Harden. It's like, come on. That was before Astros playoffs.
How can you go forward with Ben Simmons when he's already fragile in general? And now he's being talked about everywhere. I mean, Woj is talking about his availability on national television the time of day.
The only answer is that Daryl Morey gives zero bleeps about chemistry and kind of the human element, but it's just, I mean, you're just asking for a complete circus if Ben Simmons is on that roster at the start of training camp, much less the regular season.
No question. What do we know about Daryl Morey, Tim? He is not going to trade a guy at less than what he thinks his value is, and he doesn't mind awkward, uncomfortable situations. Right. And uncomfortable roster situations. Like, he has proven time and again, this is how he's going to operate. And to your point, Brian, with the way the gap between where Simmons' value is in the league and what Philadelphia appears to want in a trade for him could not be wider. And so I've just been saying repeatedly, I just don't see how this happens anytime soon unless that gap shrinks.
Well, unless Daryl backs off. He's going to have to back off.
I don't see how the gap
shrinks. That's one way it shrinks. That's what I mean. It has to shrink somehow. Either teams have to come up or they have to come down.
I don't see how the gap shrinks unless Simmons goes and starts playing much better.
Well,
and
that's
this
my
whole
thought.
Scenario makes it harder. So I think their better move would have been to just say, they know that they can't get what they want. So I would just say, we love Ben Simmons. We're going to bring him back and we're going to be even better next year. We're great this year. We're going to be even better. And we're not absolutely not trading Ben Simmons.
Daryl is perfectly capable of lying through his teeth on the record. I mean, yeah, and that still might be coming, but let's be honest.
It's too
nobody,
late now.
Nobody's going to, nobody would believe it. Ben Simmons wouldn't believe it.
Of course.
Most importantly.
So there's going to be a musical chair. So somebody's going to get Lowry and some teams are going to miss out. And so then you look at, who else out there? Well, Spencer Dinwiddie is out there.
Mike Conley.
New Orleans has interest there. Mike Conley is out there. Although within the league, people think there's very likely that he's going to, he's going to leave Utah. He's probably going to resign. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
But it will not be cheap, and they will be paying significant luxury tax.
That's right.
Let me ask you this. The Memphis trade that they made to acquire the 30th pick with Utah tonight, was there any salary, do you know, Bontemps, that was offloaded?
I believe McMahon might know better than me. I believe it was just moving back and getting two future seconds.
I mean, the difference between 30 and 40, the difference between 30 and, a non-guaranteed mid-ish second rounder. There was a lot of talk about them maybe unloading favors tonight. That didn't happen. There's been a lot of smoke.
There
about
was no
the Jazz.
Cash dumps tonight.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the Jazz looking to dump salary, and that did not happen.
All right, well, the reason they've been looking to dump salary is because I think they're intending to keep Mike Conley. It's going to be a big number, and my guess is going to be for at least 3 years, but we'll see if it's all fully guaranteed. But I would be careful about thinking about Mike Conley anywhere, but Utah. So then you have, a guy like Lonzo Ball, who's restricted, who New Orleans can't just obviously to sign a guy like Lowry or to sign a guy like Dinwiddie, they'd have to renounce him and say, thank you. Mm-hmm. But until they have that guy in the fold, I'm not expecting them to renounce him. So I would expect that to be a restricted free agent process. Then you have a guy like Schroeder. And so Schroeder is going to have to sit there and wait for things to develop to see where things go. And where is Schroeder's home going to be? Is Schroeder's home going to be maybe in Chicago, Billy Donovan, where he played for him in Oklahoma City? Is Schroeder's home going to be in Toronto? And that's what brings me to this.
Well, the only person who is more upset about the Russell Westbrook trade than me probably is Dennis Schroeder, I would think, because this has got to take a pretty significant dent out of his leverage in trying to get some sort of a deal with the Lakers if everything else falls apart, given, remember, he did turn down a pretty hefty extension back in the spring that, he might be wishing he had signed on.
Well,
line, right?
I mean, I don't want to jump too far ahead in the conversation, but you know, there's always a possibility if he doesn't get what he likes, he could just take a 1-year deal from the Lakers and could stay.
But they have to, but how much are they going to pay him?
Well, that's a negotiation.
They're at $120 million with three players right now.
Well,
so
I'll tell you one thing. If you can sign him to a contract, you can trade later. You'll do it. But that's too far down the road. That's a discussion for 10 days from now. But there's just going to be a lot of point guards out there. And also I want to point out Kemba Walker is hanging out there with the Thunder. And you know, the Thunder just drafted more ball handlers tonight. Their first round picks a ball handler, Josh Giddey. I mean, he's not a classic point guard, but he knows the ball. So, you know, Kemba Walker for somebody
point guard at 18 also.
That's right.
And they've got, you know, Gilgeous Alexander.
Right. And there's a guy like Derrick Rose hanging out there. Not that I think Derrick Rose is going to be like a massive dollar man, but I mean, if you need a point guard, you know, I at this point, I think the Knicks, there's a decent chance Knicks are going to keep him. But
I mean, he was their best player in the playoff series. They lost, but he was their best player in the series.
And point guard's definitely driving the market, to your point, all the way around.
And then if the Heat have to move off of Goran Dragic to make room to sign Kyle Lowry or somebody else, Dragic will be out there in the market. And that's a guy who I think can really help somebody. So the point guard market is just, it's good. There's a lot of things that are going to have to flip around. But Toronto now may be in that market, because one of the big surprises in the draft was that they passed on drafting, Jalen Suggs for the number 4 pick. The first 3 picks went as we expected. Kate Cunningham, just a terrific size. I mean, those guys, Kate Cunningham's been well covered. Jalen Green, who on this podcast the other day, Mark Spears made his strong case for he thought was the best player in the draft. The Cavs, in my view, the Cavs had the best spot in the whole draft in terms of there was clearly a delineation of those top 3 guys. The Cavs didn't have to really work. They knew. I mean, they had to do their research, but they were like, whoever is sitting there, we're going to take. And they did. They took Evan Mobley. And so the big decision came to 4, because the rumor that went out in the league over the last few weeks was that Jalen Suggs' workout with the Raptors was not strong. And so you wonder, like, you know, in my history of covering the NBA, that sets off all kinds of alarm bells. Like, there's shenanigans going on with trying to misinformation, stuff like that. How much does a workout matter? I mean, Tim, you got both Tims in the hours leading up to the draft, when the executives were talking, the journalists and the executives were talking, what were they asking, Bontemps? Who were the Raptors taking?
I got a lot of questions about what is Toronto doing it for? That's what everybody wanted to know.
And I just thought, well, they're going to take Suggs. This is all, I mentioned this, I think, on the pod earlier. In Vegas, when Josh Giddey was playing for the Australians, Toronto had 7 people there. So I'm thinking, well, maybe they're going to trade down. There's all kinds of stuff.
There was rumors about OKC dangling Gilgeous Alexander, which, you know, I asked around about that, was pretty strongly told no.
Yeah, totally candid. To be totally candid, I have to think those rumors came from me proposing that in a story on our website last week. So, I mean, I don't really know how real any of that actually ever was.
Bontemps believes that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not going to spend the next 10 years with the Thunder. Even the next 3 years with the Thunder. He thinks that I don't want to put words in your mouth. You think what about Shai, Bontemps?
I mean, I've said it on the pod before. I think that the timeline with the Thunder is just not, it doesn't line up with a guy who's ready to win right now. With, again, the Thunder just drafted Josh Giddey. I think Josh Giddey could be really good. He's also like 12 years old. They drafted Alexei Pokusevsky.
Gilgeous Alexander is not exactly, I mean, what's he, 22?
Well, I'm just saying he's going into his 4th year of his contract. He's about to sign an extension, and they're drafting all these guys who might be really good down the road, but they're all 17 years old. Like, it's just, the timelines are off. So I think there's a chance that at some point,
you know, you're making a joke about 17 year olds, but they drafted like an 18 year old last year. And the guy they drafted today just turned, or that he went to Houston or never mind. I lost track.
No, Houston drafted 4 19 year olds in the first round.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
No. And Josh Giddey's super young too. And like, look, these guys are really talented. It's not a knock on the Thunder. Like, they're drafting good players, but anyway, I do think that's where that came from.
I disagree with you. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you hold on to, because all of those draft picks, that, you know, whatever the update is now.
To be clear, I would hang on to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I think he's a stud. I'm just looking at the way the Thunder are handling things.
All right. So anyway, Suggs
they
goes
got a bunch
to...
of cash. They just sold the naming rights.
That's true.
Yeah, man. Paycom
Arena.
Okay, so Suggs goes to ends up going to Orlando. That's one of those things. I mean, it's easy to say that now, but I remember in the moment, whenever you have a top five maneuvering like that, in the moment, I remember when the Luka Trae Young trade happened, I thought this is a trade that could get somebody fired. And as it's turned out, it's got nobody fired. In fact, it's getting people extended.
Donnie Nelson got fired, but it was completely unrelated to that. That's the reason that some people objected to him getting fired. Like, hey, how did you know this 18-year-old EuroLeague MVP was going to be good?
Well, a lot of people. Luka was hardly a diamond in the rough. Yeah. But this is a move by Masai Ujiri, who, as far as we know, is working without a contract. No word there. And the Raptors made their general manager, Bobby Webster, available to discuss the draft tonight. Not Masai. Masai continues to not speak. But whatever, the Raptors make a decision to pass on Suggs, and maybe it's a great move, maybe it's not, but it was a risky one. It was a risky one. I don't know. To me, that's going to be one of the stories of this draft. We saw last year, you know, Halliburton sliding way back, and I knew that night, I was like, boy, Halliburton, you know, I didn't know he was going to be as good as he was, but I thought that was one of the stories of the night. I don't think you need to be a super insider to realize that Suggs not being taken in that slot could be the story of the night, and it could be a huge beneficiary for the Magic.
Well, it was especially interesting because of the Lowry situation, because you're thinking, you know what, Suggs can kind of slide right into that. Him and Van Vliet, you know, he's big enough to where he can guard twos. You know, he's kind of the Kyle Lowry starter kit in a lot of ways. You know, there's really a lot of similarities there, just in terms of, like, you know, toughness, you know, intelligence, competitiveness, all those kind of things. So that one really surprised me. And then, you know, Orlando, you say, well, you know, hey, they've got Fultz, they've got Cole Anthony, they've got RJ Hampton. And I think the Magic are right. Like, who gives a crap? Like, this is a rebuilding project. You take, when a guy's clearly the best talent on the board, especially at five, like, you pounce on him. And, you know, that's exactly what Orlando did.
I every time I watch Jalen Suggs play at Gonzaga this year, I couldn't take my eyes off him. And I don't pretend to be Mike Schmitz, who, by the way, as an aside, was unbelievable on the broadcast today. He is a whiz with this stuff. He just sits there and spouts off 1,000 things, whatever guy that comes on. But Jalen Suggs is awesome. And I watch him all year. And I just, if I had a chance to draft him in this draft, I would happily bet my stakes on him and say, you know what, if this doesn't work out, I'll go to sleep at night, because this kid is, you talk to anybody, he's a rock solid person. He's a terrific defensive player. He's an unbelievable passer. I mean, he makes winning plays all over the place. Anybody who saw that national championship semifinal against UCLA, that block he had at the rim, followed by that full court pass he had for a dunk. I mean, he does unbelievable stuff all the time.
And the half court shot.
And there's
and the half court shot.
I think there's huge developmental upside with him, because, I mean, this is a guy, Alabama and Ohio State and those kind of schools wanted him to play quarterback. I mean, this is a dude who, you know, was a two-sport star until last year. Yep. So, you know, he is going into his second year focusing on basketball year-round.
Yeah.
You know, there's a ton of developmental, you know, what's the one of the knocks? Well, you know, the jump shot's not what it, this, that, and the other. I'm willing to bet you that his jump shot consistently gets better and better and better. And I bet you 5 years we're looking up and he's a high 30s, at least high 30s three-point shooter.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is just a massive night for Orlando. I mean, people in the league are pretty high on Franz Wagner, Will Wagner's little brother, who is a wing player like his brother. He's supposed to be a good defensive player at multiple spots. But I thought when the Raptors jumped up to four, it was a monumental moment for them, because they could get one of these four guys in this draft who were seen as a cut above everybody else. And for a team with the talent they already have, to add a guy like Jalen Suggs was a huge thing. And look, a lot of people in the league like Scotty Barnes. He's a big, long, athletic kid. He can do a lot of things with the ball. He could be really good. And aside from Jerry and Bobby Webster, the Raptors front office is really good. They found a lot of guys, you know, got Fred VanVleet undrafted, found Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby late in the first round, got Norm Powell in the second round. Their track record in the draft is really good. So Scotty Barnes will probably be really good, but I personally would have taken Jalen Suggs there. And I think Orlando getting him at five for a franchise that has been completely irrelevant and rudderless for years, to get a guy with that kind of personality to be the face of that franchise going forward and lead that team, I think it's a huge, huge moment for them. And I think he's going to be a real star.
Did you like his suit?
His suit was big time. That was big time. Even at Orlando colors, it worked out great for him.
I mean, Jalen Green's suit though, with the bell bottoms, like he looked like he was coming out of a 70s disco.
Jalen Green's hair was awesome.
Yeah, with the hair too. Yes,
he's like he's an interesting kid. This group of kids coming in the league, they are, from a journalist standpoint, like Cade Cunningham seems like a good kid. Jalen Suggs is a great interview. Like, these guys are interesting personalities. So I think from that standpoint, we're in good shape too.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
I also thought Charlotte, you know, there was some surprise moves that happened. I don't know enough about all these players. I'll be the first to tell you.
Right.
I don't follow college basketball. We don't have these guys on here, but I definitely saw people who I really respected that had James Borknights, you know, as a top 6-7 selection.
Yeah. So a lot of him to OKC or Golden State at 6-7.
Yeah. And so some guys jumped up, including Giddey. There was a lot of speculation about what Memphis was going to do. I talked to a number of people in the league who thought that they were targeting somebody when they moved up. They obviously tried to get to 9 with the Kings, and then ended up getting 10. People wondered who were they going after, and there was even some discussion in the league about whether, if a guy that was off the board, they wanted, some people were speculating that was Moses Moody, but that was the guy they wanted. These are
easy
professionals.
Perk to say.
Yeah. Perk was Perk tonight. It was a lot of Perk. It was a lot of Perk going on tonight. Full scale Perk, maybe too much Perk. But a lot of people thought Moody was the guy they were looking at. So they come in with the Zaire Williams, who big time athlete. I saw him, he play. I went to see LeBron James Jr., Bronny James, and he was on Bronny James's team last year. So
he's a guy who, if he could have come out after his high school, you know, as a high school senior, you know, I think he might have been a top 5 pick, but he was projected, you know, to be probably second half of the first round because he had a disappointing freshman season. So,
yeah, Gavoni had him 17 going into tonight.
So kind of split the difference almost. Memphis gets him at 10. You know, my thought, though, is, man, you know, did Memphis have to move up from 17 to 10 to get him? You know, that's the thing there.
I mean, Memphis,
he had a lot of helium late, so I would guess they probably did, to be honest.
Memphis's track record, Zach Kleiman and those guys, Rich
Cho. They've done a great job in the draft. Really,
yeah,
great
they
job.
Have.
You have to, you know, and they traded just like last year. You know, they traded in and got the 30th pick and got Desmond Bane.
Yep.
They snuck in right at the end. They snuck in and got the 30th pick again this year.
Yep.
Right at the horn. They got the Spanish kid. I don't know much about him at all, but I didn't know much about Desmond Bane a year ago.
Oh, muy bien. Muy bien.
Yeah. But I thought, you know, Charlotte getting Borknight at 11, who fits alongside LaMelo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then they trade back in to the teens with the pick. They trade in to get the Knicks pick and draft the big man from Texas, Kai Jones, I believe. Yep. And I don't know if he's NBA ready, but they've been desperate for size.
Well, but so, they went and they got whichever Plumlee.
They got Mason Plumlee. That was a nice trade. They got up to 37 and got Plumlee, who was a solid, serviceable center.
Yes, so they got a guy who can kind of be your stopgap center, you know, for the next couple years as they're, you know, hopefully developing this guy. Obviously, you know, Jones needs to fill out. But I don't think it's real hard to kind of look at Jones and say, this guy's going to catch a lot of LaMelo lob passes over the course of his career.
Absolutely. I mean, that kid's a 6'11 track runner. I mean, he flies up and down the court. Like, if the fit of him with Miles Bridges and LaMelo and Bouknight, like that, Charlotte's going to be fun. Charlotte's going to be a fun team to watch for sure.
Yeah. So I think Charlotte had a good night, considering that they've been sort of on the bubble there. Just missed out on the bubble in Orlando, and then, you know, we're on the outside this year. I mean,
you know, they're up also a good night. The Washington Wizards, not only because they got rid of Westbrook and because they got some guys who can play back for him without giving up anything, but I like Corey Kispert for them at 15. He's another Gonzaga guy. He's a lights out shooter, kind of a Joe Harris type. Mm-hmm. You know, he could come in and immediately play for them. You have him at Davis Bertans. Space in the floor. All of a sudden, that's a lot of shooting around Bradley Beal.
I don't know how much defense it is, but yeah.
Well, I mean, the Wizards weren't playing any defense anyway, so now they at least have some shooting. And I also like them turning 22 into Aaron Holiday. Tommy Shepard, the GM of the Wizards, has liked Aaron Holiday for a long time. I remember talking to him about Aaron Holiday when he was watching him in the Pac-10 tournament when I sold the Washington Post a few years ago. And, you know, getting him to come in and play point guard, he might be able to start a pinch for them if they can't get a more immediate upgrade. But I like that move for them too, given they've got already 5 or 6 really young guys with Denny Abijah and Rui Hachimura and now Kispert and these other guys to get a guy like Holiday who can come in and play. I thought they had a really, really good day to get some long-term salary cap flexibility and some guys who can plug and play around Bradley Beal right now as to try to retool that roster around.
I'm not sure about this. So I just want to be clear, but I would assume that Bradley Beal had to sign off on Westbrook being traded.
No, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And there had been chatter going back to when Scott Brooks got let go that Russell Westbrook wasn't happy with that. Obviously he's been with Scott Brooks a long time.
Is Scott Brooks an assistant now?
Portland.
Oh, Portland.
Well, now the fact that, you know, just like you said with the Lakers, the fact that LeBron James is on the Lakers would lead you to believe LeBron James would sign off on a trade like getting Russell Westbrook.
Well, I'm sure he signed off on it. It's just a matter
saying that Bradley Beal is going to sign off, just like Bradley Beal signed off on the Russell Westbrook trade for John Wall in the first place. He certainly signed off on this Russell Westbrook trade today. I don't think there's any question.
When it comes to this, people think it's a black and white issue. LeBron wants this guy traded or LeBron doesn't want this guy traded. It's not always like that way. Sometimes he's indifferent. He gives his opinion or whatever. When it came to Anthony Davis, LeBron like literally went on the record and then said which guys on his team he wanted traded for Anthony Davis. Okay. When LeBron came to the Cavs, he said he was excited about playing with a certain number of players.
Yeah, he wrote a letter players, and left out the people who are going
to left out the guys that he intended for them to trade for Kevin Love. So, you know, the trade for J.R. Smith, like David Griffin came to him and said, you know, we can get him on Shumpert who we really want, but they want us to take J.R. And he was like, no, get J.R. I'll get J.R. and I'll take care of him. It's like there are, you know, and I don't know. Maybe we'll find out in the coming days or hours where LeBron was on this. But when I heard about this possibility a week ago, I was like, boy, that sounds like something LeBron, because if he's, you know, another thing is LeBron does have a history of making various groupings on his team work. There's also a history of him saying, bring me these guys and it being a disaster. Bring me Dwayne Wade as an example. Nope. Bring me, you know, those, that group of guys with the Lakers the first year he was there. Nope. So I don't know, you know, McMahon is right. Like Russell Westbrook's a talented player. There is some world, I suppose, where this could work, but regardless of all that, considering Washington had this guy, had him on this massive contract. And, you know, just go back and look what they were, you know, if you want to look at what they traded John Wall, who was, you know, a borderline untradeable player.
Yep.
And they traded a first round pick win that deal. Well, they got a first round pick back today.
Right. And the first round pick that they traded might end up being 2 seconds. It's very heavily protected.
Well, listen, they turned John Wall into useful players, salary cap flexibility, and aren't out any picks. The Lakers are out more picks for Russell Westbrook than the Wizards are. Like that's a huge win for the Wizards.
And honestly, John Wall right now that's a pretty significant problem for the Rockets. You're trying to rebuild around Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. Those are the two number one and two guys. You know, Christian Wood as well. They've got some other young pieces.
Forget Terrence Sengun.
Well, you know, yeah, they've got – but the two guys who have the highest upside that they're trying to build around are Jalen Green, Kevin Porter Jr. And, again, we can throw Christian Wood in there. But my point is you want those guys playing a ton of minutes. John Wall – paying John Wall $92 million to take minutes away from those guys over the next 2 years – is just not a good idea. You know, it's just not a good situation. And, you know, to a lesser degree, Eric Gordon, who has a significant contract and, there'll be some three guard line, whatever. Like the Rockets need to figure out a way sooner than later to ways with those guys. With Wall, I do think Gordon's tradable. I need to double check that.
I'm gonna look it up.
I believe he's got a couple left. Wall, I just don't see. I think it's very clear at some point there will be a buyout there, but it's not. They're not going to give him $92 million to walk away. I mean, I think that's probably a next summer conversation.
The Pistons bought out Blake with more than a year left. Do you think there's any chance that happens here?
$92 million. I mean, look, the Rockets are, they did just get a Jersey Pat sponsor, Credit Karma money. So, you know, they've got some credit. Maybe they have some karma, a little bit more money. So maybe there's something that can work here.
Eric Gordon, just so you guys know, has 2 years left, and his contract's unguaranteed until the start of the league year in 23. So he's got two guaranteed years left.
Yeah, and that third is like he has to either be an all-star or they have to win a championship. He's got 2 years.
Yeah.
So speaking of buyout guys, during the middle of the draft here in Tokyo, Jerry Colangelo, the head of USA Basketball, had a press conference. Greg Popovich couldn't be at the press conference because his team was drafting. Steve Kerr couldn't be at the press conference because his team was drafting. Like literally while Jerry was talking, the Spurs drafted this guy, Primo, who I know nothing about. I'm going to have to rely on our people to tell me about Primo. I know he was projected, I think, where did Gavoni have him?
Late 20s.
Yeah.
The youngest guy in the draft out of Alabama.
The team formerly known as the Austin Toros will get a lot of Primo action next show, I think.
Okay, well, it's a lottery pick. So, all right. So, anyway, so Jerry Colangelo was doing it. It was, you know, there was only five people on the Zoom, which, you know, normally when USA Basketball has a press conference, there's, you know, 70 people from around the world. But because the NBA draft was going on, it was not. And so Jerry Colangelo was talking about the decision. You know, he was sort of defending their roster choices. But the point I'm bringing up is what he said about Kevin Love. He was asked about, you know, the decision to put Kevin Love on the roster and, you know, what issue that caused. And so I'm just going to read to you what he said about Kevin Love.
Have you heard this yet, Ben?
I'm not.
Oh, here you go.
I didn't think Kevin Love was going to play. I wasn't even sure he had much left to play. He reached out to us and said he was in shape and he said he felt he owed us. And on the basis of that, and we're looking at someone with international experience, who at one time was a heck of a rebounder and could still shoot the ball, you know, like being the 12th man on the roster. Well, it didn't work out. He wasn't in shape and he was way behind, as it turned out. So you move on. call it a mistake, call it giving someone an opportunity, someone who had equity with us. Now, I mean, Jerry's
what would you call that, Ben McMahon?
I would call that not helping Cleveland trade his contract.
No, I mean, and like, that's the thing. Like when Team USA's practices were closed for the first week, typically we get to watch. We didn't because we couldn't be there. Then we were able to come to the games the second week. The scouts that I knew, and Tim was talking to the same scouts, they were just like, Kevin looks terrible. And when he played, looked terrible. And if he just tapped out, but the Cavs did trade.
Remember the Cavs, as part of this, were hoping that Kevin Love would come to Tokyo and rehab his value.
Yeah.
Put himself in a position to maybe be turned into something.
Well, I guess he technically did not hurt his value.
No, he did.
I mean, listen. You can't have negatives like value.
You actually can because
the thing is,
he said, "I'm in good shape. Now I'm going to show you." And people are like, "Oh, okay. Well, you know, they haven't played for 2 months. Maybe he is in good shape. Let's see." Oh, so. The Cavs did trade for Ricky Rubio today, which I actually thought was a pretty good trade. Torian Prince for Ricky Rubio. He'll be their backup, but Jerry Colangelo's evaluation. And by the way, it's not revealing. It's just him saying what everybody else is saying behind the scenes. Yeah. So for people out there who number one,
it's called saying the quiet part out loud.
Right. And he's doing it because he's defending. You know, he's like, listen, we were trying to do right by the guy, and the guy wasn't ready. But the point is.
Or go on.
Also, people who think if Kevin Love gets a buyout, he will come to their team. And, you know, then I think that's relevant. It's not worth spending more time talking about than that.
Did he explain JaVale McGee, though?
No.
That's what I'm curious about. Like the Kevin Love thing.
He did explain why they didn't go with Trae Young.
Ooh, what was that answer?
Again, I'll just read it verbatim because I got the transcript right here. I'm happy that Trae wants to play for USA Basketball. We had him in one of our camps a few years ago. We know him in USA Basketball. He's done really well in the NBA, but predicated on what we felt we needed, which means they thought they needed size. Mm-hmm. He didn't fit the bill this time around. He's a young player, has a future with USA Basketball. But it was the opinion of our staff that it wasn't now. It's for others to make the declaration that we made a mistake. If we lose, it will be pointed out we made a lot of mistakes. You have to respond to it. And if they win, they won't have to say anything.
Right, Team USA's mistake is the Oklahoma City Skins League's gain.
I know. I saw that.
That was a cool video.
The guy didn't. I know everybody's showing up that guy and saying like, oh my God, he got burned. He played good defense.
Yeah.
You know,
just got stuck
with those NASCAR jerseys on.
All right. Well, the second round has been going on. We didn't even watch it. I hope there wasn't like a 15 player trade that just happened.
I've been watching as we've gone along. There's been nothing too dramatic has happened.
All right. Well, next week we have free agency, man. I don't think it's going to be one of the wildest years we've seen, but there's going to be some action. And we still don't know what's going to happen with Kawhi. It's still a mystery. I think he's going to stay put, but I don't have good information on it. I don't feel sometimes you can speak with confidence. I speak with no confidence on that.
I would say the two guys to me that are going to be the most interesting to watch are Lowry, who we talked about, and Spencer Dinwiddie. Of all the more name worthy guys, those are the two guys who seem most likely to change teams. And then Lonzo Ball's the other one. Like his situation, yeah. I think, will also be interesting to see where he winds up because it does not, you know, doesn't seem like he's going to be with the Pelicans based off reading the tea leaves. But it'll be interesting to see where he does wind up.
Yeah, I mean, the Pelicans paid a price to clear that cap space. So if you don't want to be compared to the Sacramento Kings, use it wisely. That's what I would say. Zion is watching. Okay, thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. I hope everybody has a good night. I will hopefully have a good afternoon, and we'll talk to you next week.
Adios, amigos.